Hey, welcome to Thoughts We Might Have Had, the podcast. I'm Micah Thompson.
And I'm Jack Gregory, and we are here to welcome you to another phase of rollicking good times and absolute mental chaos. Yes, it's going to be
how
fantastic.
You,
I'm doing pretty well. Life is progressing, and things develop, and there's lots of other vague little statements I could make, but that's good for now.
There you go. How's spring treating you so far? Beautiful day. Beautiful day here in Greenville.
It is a gorgeous day. I'm actually going to go out, and I'm going to walk up to Starbucks today.
Well done. Well done. Yeah. It's great that we're in spring now, and spring is starting to solidify. Actually, I have this great... This is a long story how I came up with this. But here are my four seasons given by age of man. So spring is puberty. Spring is the puberty of seasons because it really doesn't know quite what's going on.
Right, and there's lots of bits flying everywhere. Right.
Exactly. Things are popping up all over the place. That's the t-shirt for this episode, by the way. Spring is the puberty of seasons.
Hey, excellent.
That's a side goal of mine, is to come up with a t-shirt for every podcast. So that's this one.
That's commendable.
Spring is the puberty of season, unless something else comes up that's better.
Right.
And then summer is sort of the nice, like, solid middle age, like 25 to 40 kind of age, where, like, everything is going pretty well, and, you know, you kind of know what's going on, and it's hard sometimes, but it's good, you know, life's good.
Fairly consistent level of existence, yeah.
Exactly. And then you hit fall, which is sort of like 50s to, like, 70s. Where, you know, things are going downhill, but at the same time, you're established and you know what life is about. You know, you've got your priorities straight at this point, and things are pretty good, but, you know, you're on sort of the downhill slope.
There is an element of decay, but it's solid, you know, wisdom-centric sort of, you know, entropy, yes.
Exactly. And then winter, this is the one I'm actually kind of the most proud of, except for maybe spring is puberty. Winter is like retirement, where, like, for the first year, it's awesome. Because you don't have anything to do, and you're still young enough to sort of get out and spend some of your retirement money, which is like the first day of winter when you freak out and go out and like build six snowmen.
Snow day!
Exactly. But then after that, it sort of sucks because you realize that there's not much to do.
Right, and you're just stuck inside all the time.
Exactly. So it's like perfect. Winter and spring are my favorite of that. Summer and fall aren't great.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, winter is like retirement and then into death.
Right.
And then spring is puberty.
Spring is the puberty of seasons. Awesome.
Right, and we leave childhood alone.
Yes.
But there you go. Anyway, that was all extremely off topic and random, but I got talking about spring and it reminded me of that. So there you go. Anyway, as we said at the end of the last episode, I want to start off with some Avengers talk.
Assemble.
Avengers, as we all know, a great movie, one of the best movies ever. Definitive proof, both that Joss Whedon is extremely awesome and that you can do a good ensemble superhero movie.
You really can.
Which just, was in doubt because the only other one is really Fantastic Four, which we all know is horrible.
Terrible. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Some of the worst things ever, Fantastic Four.
Right. And, I mean, now that they've established that you can do a good ensemble movie, I wouldn't be surprised if they try and bring Fantastic Four back, kind of a
reboot.
They're kind
of already talking about it.
Okay. I knew they were doing, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, which I have no idea how they're going to make that into a movie that anybody takes seriously. It's got a
one of their main characters.
It's got a talking
tree
and a freaking raccoon, for crying out
loud.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, no. So they could bring Fantastic Four back. They will, of course, have to have a new Human Torch because he's Captain America now. But other than that,
which is a little awkward,
right?
I love how we all just sort of pretended that those movies didn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
To the point where we cast them in something else in the same universe. It's great.
It's fantastic. Yeah. It's just, yeah.
It's fantastic. There you go.
But the Avengers. You know, I mean, there's been hundreds of things said and written about it, but we decided that it was time to put our own little thoughts we might have had spin on that
exactly.
And let you guys know what we really think.
Plus, I want to give it our Star Wars ranking treatment, too, where we'll just rank the Avengers in the movie. You know, don't go crazy in the comic books because there are hundreds of them.
Well,
let's
establish our list, then. I'm actually going to write this down so that I can kind of visualize it. Obviously, you've got the Hulk, who was in it, and Iron Man.
Right.
You've got Cap and Thor.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Black Widow, because she was there for the whole thing. Are we counting Hawkeye since he was there for the big battle, even though he was like a bad
guy?
Yeah,
I'm counting her and Hawkeye.
Okay,
both.
Right. Well, let's count Hawkeye too. That covers the cast list. Six of them, right?
Right. Okay. Six of them in the main movie, which is all we're going to talk about. Right. All of you comic book fans out there, please sit down. We are aware that there are more, but we are not going to talk about them.
Okay.
All right. Well, so least to best, we'll switch off like we did before. So you go first, least favorite.
Okay, least favorite. This is going to be difficult for me, actually.
It's true.
Right, because, I mean, all of these six had great elements in not only in the movie as a whole and in their original, you know, films where they were introduced. You know, I mean,
right.
The Hulk was technically the only one who was really introduced in this movie. Although, I mean, if you can even count back to, you know, when Edward Norton was doing it, because that was technically part of the whole thing. Let's see. My least favorite, I'm going to have to go with Captain America, actually.
Yeah, me too.
Really?
Me too.
Wow.
Actually,
okay.
I had him.
I mean, he did great things, but he was easy to overlook in this movie, I think, because Cap was the, and usually is, the foundation of the team. He's the flat gray concrete at the bottom upon which everybody else stands. And the flat gray concrete just usually isn't terribly impressive. It's important, it's necessary, they need him there, and he does some very, very good things in the movie. But yeah, he was the most subtle, understated, I think, of the whole thing.
Well, and here's my thing with Captain America. Two big things. The first one is, he's sort of like the Superman of the Marvel Universe, where he's always fighting for, like, truth and liberty in the American way, and there's very little internal conflict.
That's true.
Like, you know, with the Hulk, there was internal conflict, and even with Thor, there was some internal conflict, as, you know, it's his brother, and there's stuff going on there. But with Captain America, it's always, I'm going to fight for America, and that's sort of it. Like, there's not a lot of other things going on there.
I am a man, and I have values, and I never give them up.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Secondly, I have never been super impressed with Captain America's sort of power spread. Like, he's got the shield, and he's got super strength, which seems to be, it kind of comes and goes. Like, you're never sure exactly when he's going to be super strong and when he's not going to be.
Yeah.
Like, he's not like a pickup car sort of strong, but he's like a punch through a wall sort of strong.
Right.
It's very nebulous.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I realize his shield stops things, but he can still get shot, right? Like, if someone shoots Captain America in the back, he's shot, right?
Yeah, he doesn't, it's not like bullets bounce off of him or anything, no.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, because that seems sketchy to me, too. Like, he doesn't really do a whole lot of, like, moving, or, like, you know, Black Widow, I can kind of believe that she moves around quick enough to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Captain America, whenever someone shoots at him, they shoot at his shield.
And although, I mean, to be quite honest, the most awesome thing that Cap did in the movie, I think, was, well, when he confronted Loki in Germany, in the crowd, you know, that was pretty awesome. And then when Thor brought the hammer down as hard as he possibly could, and Cap just took it on the shield and was more or less fine. That was pretty awesome. But other than that, yeah, it wasn't huge. It was not a huge Cap movie. But they're making a second one, and I'm going to be excited to see what they do with him in Winter Soldier. Definitely.
I was surprised at how much I liked the Captain America movie. Because, once again, I've never been a huge fan of his.
Right.
But I really enjoyed it. Like, I had a great time, and I thought it was good. I'm hesitant about Winter Soldier, because, once again, I think he's very Superman, where it's kind of easy to make a good origin movie.
Yeah.
Because you kind of get how he became. But from then on, the conflict is hard to find. But with the whole Winter Soldier, like who the Winter Soldier is and all that, which I don't want to give it away.
Right.
But, you know, there could be conflict there. So I'm excited, but I'm a little more hesitant. But anyway, who's next? Who's next on your list?
All right. Next least favorite. Wow. Going to have to go with Thor on this one as number 5.
Oh, wow. That's surprising.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, in all honesty, you know, these are all very, very close to each other. The only reason I'm going to put Thor next is because Thor was the most shallow, I think, of the characters in terms of writing, as far as, except for Captain America goes. You know, I mean, he's, you know, there's only so many times that Chris Hemsworth can come out and say, "I say thee nay," before it gets old.
Still hasn't gotten old for me.
It's true. Right, you know, I mean, I love the fact that they write for him so well. He's kind of, it's funny, Thor is kind of the Brian Blessed of the Avengers. You know, he's the large ham, and he's, you know, Chizik, fresh horses. You know, I mean, that's what you expect from him. And Chris Hemsworth certainly has not failed to deliver on that aspect. I feel like they should have, and if Joss Whedon had probably been given free rein, they probably would have, but they should have explored a little more about how Thor even got there, because that was like a huge thing.
That was a big deal. Right. Yeah.
They should have explored more on the sibling conflict between Loki and Thor. You know, I mean, they reference it, and it's like, yes, but he's my brother, therefore I shall take him back to Asgard. Well, now Thor has suddenly become Sean Connery. But in the same sense, it's just, you know, it's like, well, he's my brother, we're responsible for him, so I'm going to take him back. You know, and they didn't really cover much more of that. I felt like Thor's relationship with Loki could have been explored a little more. So those are the two main reasons why I would put him in as number five. What's your number five?
There you go.
Or who?
I'll save it for later. I'll save my favorite Thor line for later. Remind me when we get
there. Okay, favorite Thor line. Making a note.
I think my next least favorite would be Hawkeye.
Okay.
And it's not just because my wife has a crush on him, though she does. Because I kind of understand that, you know, whatever. But, like, he's just not super interesting to me. Like, he's just sort of around and he's shooting things with arrows, which is cool. Like, he's cool, but he's not, like, this super interesting, deep character to me.
Right.
He's just sort of around. So there's not a big reason for that, but that's just sort of, he's next on the list as far as I like him, but I don't like him a lot. And it's not like he has a lot of cool moments. He's just sort of, there's that one time where he, like, blows up Loki, but that's about it. Like, right. He's not around a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that moment was what I was going to reference for my Hawkeye, because Hawkeye is number four for me. You know,
is he next on the list?
He's
then?
Next on the list for me.
You're counting backwards, which is confusing. Right. So he's your next pick.
Right. He's my next pick. You know, and I love that moment where he shoots Loki and Loki catches the arrow and then it blows up in his face because.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Joss Whedon is a great writer and a great film director, and one of his trademarks, I think, is turning a moment of awesome into a moment of funny. And he always does that very, very well. And that shot was one of the best, you know, because, I mean, Hawkeye has been shooting the crap out of Lower Manhattan, you know, and then he finally gets a bead on Loki, sends one right down his main street, and Loki just catches it without even blinking, which is a moment of awesome. You're like, oh my gosh, Loki just, right. And then it blows up in his face and knocks him halfway across, you know, the city block, you know, and that turns it into the funny, you know, and I love it when Joss Whedon does stuff like that. But I think that Hawkeye comes in fourth for me rather than fifth, just because I feel like they were able to, even with the little amount of time that he was on screen, use him as sort of the barometer for what is it like when superheroed characters come into a universe that has previously only been run and influenced by regular people. And I like that they explored and used him as the tool for explaining that. So that's why he comes in at number four rather than number five for me. But it was really close.
I'd agree with that. And I really hope Hawkeye gets his own movie, because I think that'd be really interesting to kind of watch him have to deal with, you know, one of these super villains kind of on his own terms.
Yeah, I think that would be excellent.
But yeah. So anyway, my four, I think, would be Black Widow.
Okay.
Just because, like, I really liked the character. Like, I thought she was really interesting to watch. But, like, she, you know, there's the fact that she doesn't have superpowers, which is, you know, it's not a knock on her character. It just makes her somewhat less interesting to watch. But, like, I really liked what they did with her and, like, her arc and her, like, going toe-to-toe with Loki in that one scene where, like, she tricks him into giving away his plan. But then, even though she tricks Loki into giving away his plan, she still goes and makes that plan happen.
Yeah.
Like, that's like one of my big problems with the Avengers, of which I don't have many. But, like, they find out, oh, he's trying to unleash the Hulk. And then they go and start yelling at the Hulk. And it seems like that should be not what we did not do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I realize eventually it happened because they blew up the ship and whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think when, you know, he transforms after that and he's already angry because they've been spending the last 10 minutes shouting at him about how he needs to calm down. But anyway. Anyway, what's your next one? So you've got three left, right?
Right. Yes, I've got three left. Black Widow is actually third place for me.
Okay, there you go.
What I love that they did with Black Widow is, You know, I mean, she's established as the supremely capable, you know, agent, constantly in control of the situation. You know, I mean, they do that even with her establishing scene where, you know, she's tied up and being interrogated by a bunch of Russian mobsters. She's actually interrogating them, and they just don't know it, you know. And literally, you know, she's being chained to a chair and hung, you know, three stories above the ground, and she's perfectly fine because she's got it under control. Right. And they take somebody like that, and then they reassign her, and you actually get to see what Black Widow is afraid of. Because throughout the movie, it is clear as day that Natasha Romanoff is scared spitless of the Hulk.
It's true.
Right. I mean, just, you know, when she's talking to Bruce Banner, you know, and he does the whole fake freak out on the table thing, and she's got a gun in her hands faster than I've seen anybody. The amount of emotion that, you know, you get to see behind the cracks of her mask and say, yes, here's a woman who knows exactly what she's capable of. She's constantly in control of everything. She, you know, plans out her moves to the last degree, but you put her in a room with a Hulk, and she knows she's defenseless, and that frightens her to death. And I thought that Scarlett Johansson did an excellent acting job, especially in those scenes. So yes, Black Widow's was my third favorite.
There you go. Okay, my third is the Hulk. So I really love the character. I thought he was great. I think a movie like The Avengers is the best place for the Hulk, because as we've learned, it's really hard to make a really good movie about the Hulk, because it's not fun to watch someone want to not use their superpowers.
Right.
Like, that's just, it's not, like, for non-superpowered people, it's hard for us to relate to that. Even with something as easy to understand as anger problems. Like, obviously, the Hulk is, you know, that's his big thing, anger problems. Mm-hmm. But it's hard for us to relate to someone who wouldn't want to become the Hulk and smash things.
Right.
So a movie like The Avengers is perfect, because he can do that, but it's not the main focus, and the audience can sort of understand it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the main focus of like an hour and a half long movie, by the end of it, you're just like, okay, we get it. Just smash things, please.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely.
So I think this is the perfect movie for him. I loved it. Obviously, the scene with Loki in the tower is one of the best things to happen in cinema in a very long time. So yes, number three on my list is the Hulk.
Okay. Well, the Hulk comes in at number two on my list.
There you go.
You know, for many of the same reasons that you mentioned. You know, obviously, the fact that they didn't overdo the whole Bruce Banner interior conflict thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they referenced it a bit, but at the same time, you know, and I liked this movie because they actually focused initially primarily on using Bruce Banner.
Right.
Not on using the Hulk, you know. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that, you know, I mean, and one of the things that I noticed this past reference is I think I like the Hulk in this movie, especially also because I think that Mark Ruffalo does one of the best jobs of physical acting in this as Bruce Banner. If you get a chance to go back and watch the movie, watch the man and how he uses his hands. Every time he actually interacts with something, whether he's picking it up or moving it or even just adjusting his glasses or something, he moves his hands in a way as if they were massive, huge, you know, powerful tools, even when he's in his basic normal human form. He only uses the fingertips, you know, when he's adjusting things or moving things, because... And I just, it's very subtle and it's easy to miss, but I was just so impressed with the physical development that Mark Ruffalo did for the character in order to portray it. It was incredible and very, very powerful, I think.
All right, so that's your number two, or your number three. What are we on?
No, that was my number two. You've got two left.
Okay. My number two is, and this is really going to disagree with you strongly here, my number two is Iron Man.
Okay.
Nothing against Tony Stark. Absolutely. I mean, he was great in this movie. This was mostly his movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that. And I just think, like, his everything done with his character was great. He was sort of the emotional, like, there was a big emotional change with him, and there wasn't really a huge emotional change with anyone else.
Right.
But, yeah, so Iron Man, I think, was great in this movie, obviously. And he's my number two for very, 'cause I love him so much, he's number two. It is not any slight to him at all.
Yeah, and for me, he's number one simply because there is an amount of emotion, again, like you said, that he feels, and you can see the transition through this movie, and this is a very important transition, not only for the even just the series as a whole, but for Iron Man and Tony Stark's character personally. He goes from a solo act hot dog to a member of a team with people that he actually wants to work with. Mm-hmm. Not a member of a team that he wants to lead and have other people work for him. You know, which is very different from Tony Stark's usual interaction with other people. You know, I mean, like, I feel like, and you know, he even goes for the sacrifice play at the very end of the movie, you know, which is, and so I think the development of the Stark character throughout this, plus the fact that he is probably the most hilarious thing to ever, you know, set foot in the Marvel Universe, you know, those aspects are what really make me enjoy Robert Downey Jr.'s portrayal of Iron Man in this one. And, you know, just it seemed like everything that happened, you know, every moment in it that made me go, wow, that was Joss Whedon being awesome again, was something that Iron Man had either caused, was involved in, or directly happening to, you know. So, yeah, Iron Man was my favorite as far as this one goes.
There you go. And obviously my favorite is Thor. And maybe it's just because I'm biased, because, like, not even in just this movie, but, like, he's my favorite Avenger. Because he's just awesome. I love the Norse mythology thing.
Oh, yeah.
Huge fan of Norse mythology way before the movie. And, like, Chris Hemsworth does such a great job with the character. And just, like, even when they're talking about, like, you know, the conflict and how he feels like, you know, he used to really like war, and now he feels like he's kind of, it's following him whether he likes it or not. It's a really interesting sort of way to look at it. And obviously, you gotta love a guy who just likes to smash things with a hammer. Like, even when, like, you know, the Hulk punches him and he, like, goes flying through, like, four different things, and he finds out he's bleeding, and then he just smiles at the Hulk and goes back. Like, I just love it. I love it. There's no way around it.
Yeah, no. And you know, taken by and large, I would say Thor would rank much higher than 5 on my list if you take him as a character compared to all the Avengers over the course of all the movies. You know, it was just this movie, I felt like they could have done more with him. But I have no problem with him topping your list, you know, and with even some minor adjustments or alternate considerations, it's very possible that he would top my list very often as well.
It's true. Though my favorite Thor moment is definitely when they're on the helicarrier, wow, and he's, you know, they're talking, and he's like, well, he's my brother. And they're like, he killed 40 million people. He's like, he's adopted.
Right.
Like, I love that. That's my favorite moment.
Yes.
Anyway.
And, but yeah, no, there's some excellent, excellent Thor lines in this whole thing as well. And it's also funny to watch Thor because he's becoming a little more comfortable with Earth.
It's
you know,
true.
And he's starting to develop, you know, the connection, I think, to the reality that we have here. You know, and fewer things are taking him by surprise or being completely inexplicable to him, and that was always fun to see too.
Yeah, it's true. Though I agree with you that I did hate the fact that they kind of, like, smeared over the whole, at the end of Thor, he totally wasn't allowed to come back to Earth, and now here he is!
Right, yeah.
Just sort of, I mean, because.
They make, like, a few references to it, like, you know, Loki does some verbal insult at him, you know, how much something or other dark energy do you have to burn through in order to get here or something, but they don't really address it, you know?
Yeah.
And in all honesty, I can't wait for the next Thor movie, because I fully anticipate that Natalie Portman is going to rip him a new one for not coming to see her before taking Loki back to Asgard, but that's just going to be
exactly.
Fun. Yeah. So, but yeah. And then also, of course, for the Avengers movie, once again, Clark Gregg as Agent Coulson did a very, very good job.
It's true. And he's coming back for the TV show.
He's coming back for the TV show because guess what, folks? He didn't actually die. Here's my prediction on this, okay? Basically, at Coulson's death scene, Nick Fury comes in, kind of is like, you know, whatever, and says, you know, hang on, we're going to get the medics here. And Coulson's laying there on the ground, you know, with a hole in his chest, and he says, no, it's okay, it's better this way. Basically, you know, they need something they can rally around. Basically, you know, look, if I die, it's going to be a symbol for them, and that might be what finally wakes the Avengers up and says, you need to work together and actually, you know, fix this problem.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, there's the slow-mo and fade to music, and the medics come in and jump over the railing and blah, 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 you know. But you never actually see the man die. I mean, like, he right. sits back and his eyes close, but that, you know, this is comic book world. That could mean anything. That could,
exactly. That could mean, no,
you know,
it's
he
true.
He had a slight indigestion, you know. And also, even prior to getting killed, you know, he tells Loki, you're going to lose. You lack conviction, you know. And if there's one thing that Agent Coulson had, it was conviction, you know, that S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to do the right thing. S.H.I.E.L.D. is here to protect people. Captain America is eventually going to think I'm a cool person, you know. I mean, yeah, he believed in a lot of things.
Right.
And then, of course, there's the whole thing with the Captain America cards and the fact that, you know, he wasn't actually wearing them. You know, he didn't have them on him. They would have been kept in his locker, and they reference that, you know. So my guess is Coulson was probably pretty badly hurt. The medics were able to stabilize him, and they shoved him off to sick bay. And since he wasn't going to be around, Nick Fury was just like, all right, nobody say anything. We're going to pretend he's dead. And he went and he got the cards and, you know, slapped him in a little bit of blood on him and then went and lied to Avengers.
Right.
Which, you know, Nick Fury is not above doing on occasion. So that's my prediction for what actually happened. And that's why we'll be able to have Coulson back for the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series and then further Marvel movies as well.
It's true. No, I think it's really funny because some people, like, I agree with you. I think that's, you know, very obvious. But some people are like, have these crazy conspiracy theories where they're like, oh, he's a robot now, or he's actually this superhero disguised as Coulson, and that's right. how they're, it's like, no, he's probably just still alive.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But yeah, so there you go. There's like a whole podcast, really. We're pretty much out of time on the Avengers, which is a great movie. I have no regrets. Real quick here before the end, let's talk about, because there's Iron Man 3, which is coming out this summer.
Yep.
Which I'm super excited about. I was not a big fan of Iron Man 2 because I felt like the movie kind of wandered around a lot. Like it didn't really have a focus.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't a bad movie. No. It's just when stacked up with the other good things that Marvel has come out with, it was not the best.
Right. So I really think that this time they've kind of, like, they've got Mandarin, who's great, and he's going to be a really good villain, and it looks like it's about Iron Man again, whereas the last movie was like, well, it's sort of about Whiplash, and it's also sort of about Don Cheadle, and it's sort of about Pepper Potts, and, like, this one, it's about Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
So that's encouraging, so I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Captain America 2, Winter Soldier, which I think is next year, right?
Yes, this year we've got Iron Man is supposed to come out in May.
Right.
Thor, The Dark World, second Thor, is supposed to come out in November.
Right.
And then Captain America is supposed to come out April of next year.
There you go. Along with, like, Ant-Man, right? Isn't that next?
Ant-Man is slated for 2015, I think, actually.
Oh, good. Oh, good. I don't want to watch that anyway. So, yeah, you've got Iron Man 3, Thor 2 this year, which is great. Mm-hmm. Super excited for Thor 2.
Yeah. Christopher Eccleston. Dark Elf.
I really hope this is the movie where Thor and Loki have to work together. Like, I think that's going to happen in this movie, which I really think will be interesting for that relationship. I have no basis for that at all. That's just a wild guess. And then Captain America next summer, which once again, I'm sort of hesitantly excited about. Not nearly as excited as I am for the two movies this summer. But, you know, hey, who knows? Mm-hmm. I've been surprised before by Captain America.
Right.
My real great problem with the first Captain America was that there was not enough Hugo Weaving, and there was way too much of a guy who was a walking mascot for Big Red Gum.
Yes.
Like, you have Hugo Weaving, why not use his face? Mm-hmm. Why go with the Big Red Skull?
Why
thing?
Immediately flip over to the Red Skull, right? And exactly. Hugo Weaving has done great work behind a mask before.
Oh, it's true.
As we all know.
Indeed.
But yeah, it's Hugo Weaving. Let the man use his face when you can.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Or why not go, like, you know, here, look, here's the Big Red Skull reveal, whatever, and then put the mask back on.
Right, yeah. Patch yourself up. Because I'm sorry, you know, it's Hugo Weaving is going to attract a lot of unnecessary attention, even driving around Nazi Germany looking like that.
Exactly. Yeah. But anyway, that's all. So we had something else we were going to do today. I guess we'll have to push it off to the next episode, but that's fine. We talked Avengers, which is great. Everybody loved Avengers. Maybe everybody will love this podcast now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes,
indeed.
Absolutely. So thank you all for listening. Check us out next time, and we will see you then.